All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Good morning. It is such a schus baruch Hashem to be able to learn. I think this might be the first time that that I'm doing it like live virtually. So a tremendous schus baruch Hashem to be able to learn with all of you. Thank you to Maishi and to Jeremy for enabling this to occur. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's share. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Shvat, Haba Alim Lotova, Mel and Karen Ram, for dedicating all the Sherman Drushos this month in honor of their parents, Stanley and Cynthia Ringo, Margareta Ram, for their unwavering love and support. Our week of learning sponsors, Nathan and Beth Adler, in memory of Beth's father, Tzvi Ben Kalman Zichron Lebracha, on the occasion of his first yard site on the 7th of Shvat. And our day of learning sponsor, Shifra Abramson, Le'iloi Nishmas David Yehuda Ben Avram, grandfather of Maishi Abramson. Halabai, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, in merit Hashem, all of the Neshamas Sh'av and Aliyah, the families in Nechama, all those in Nidra Refuah should have one together with Kol Chole Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu should in merit Hashem continue to share brachas and besoros tovos upon all of Klal Yisrael. And we'll say with that, let us begin. We really do, all kidding aside, have an incredible, incredible daf ahead of us today. And Baruch Hashem, truly looking forward to just learning together. So today's daf is Yud Ches 18. And we are picking up Emir Tzashem on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, three lines up from the bottom. So the Gemara says as follows, Lo, Tichuli Alma Karis Lekas. So we'll say, remember again, we were learning in yesterday's daf, the interesting machlokas about what happens if a person has a machshavas pigel regarding something that normally is supposed to be eaten, but he had in mind to burn it. Or conversely, something that's normally eaten and he had in mind to burn it. So again, what a machlokes about whether or not that affects pigel. Rabbi Lozer says it does. Tanakama said it doesn't. The Gemara then said, what about if that's the case that it's pigel, then why isn't there a chiyuv karis? And the Gemara demonstrated that there is no chiyuv karis. The Gemara then wanted to say that the whole chiyuv karis is maybe a machlokes. To which the Gemara now says, lo, t'choli ama karis taka. Everyone agrees in that type of situation. There's absolutely no karis. V'hacha, Kimo machlokes bedavar. And here, there's a three-way machlokes concerning this situation. What's the three-way machlokes? Tanakama savar, bahanach pliyila, haniach tivri akol kosher. Tanakama holds that it's only in these cases where there's a machlokes, but if one has in mind, let's say the case was to leave over some of the blood past the permitted time. If one had in mind to leave over the blood, everyone agrees that ultimately, again, the carbon is kosher, and there's no pigel. Top of Yud Ches 18a. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Bahanach Pligi, Lahaniach Divri HaKol Pasul. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds that Halacha Lamaisa, what's the case? The case ultimately, again, is where, in the case, Rashi says, in the case of shtia, in the case, again, of drinking, that's ultimately, again, where, that's the case of the drinking of the blood. Rabbi Yehuda said, that's the case where there's a machlokes, ultimately, again, that's the case of the machlokes. However, lahaniach divrei hakol pasul. But if one had in mind to leave over the blood, let's say, again, into the prohibited time, some of the blood, ultimately, that would be pasul. My time, what's the reason? Gzeira miktsas damo atu kol. There was a gzera, ultimately, again, that if you do something with some of the blood, you may come to do it with all of the blood. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. This is Rashi, second line down, gzera. Dinachashev lahaniach miktsas damo, atu kol damo. That if a person has in mind to leave over some of the blood, he may come to leave over all of the blood. The chol damo psula da'oraisa. And leaving over all of the blood, obviously, is going to be a psula da'oraisa. Kid mefarshim sechas vachim. Fine. So the Gemara says, the chol damo psula da'oraisa. And ultimately, again, leaving over, having in mind to leave over all of the blood, everyone will agree that that is a psul d'oraisa. Where do we know that? From the Sanya. Amen, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said as follows, Iatem modim li, shim hinichu l'machar shepasel. Rabbi Yehuda says, don't you agree with me that if halacha l'maisa, you were to go ahead and leave over the blood, that it would be pasel? Don't you agree with that? So the Gemara says, Iatem modim shim hinichu l'machar shepasel, chisha l'hanichu l'machar, nami pasel. So if in Rabbi Yehuda's world, Rabbi Yehuda feels that just like if you were to actively leave over the blood, it would be possible. So too, if you had in mind to leave over the blood, it should be possible as well. The Asr Rabbi Lazar Lameimar, and Rabbi Lazar came along and he said, Af bizu Rabbi Eliezer posel v'chachamim machshirim. Even in this case, Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's posel, and the chachamim ultimately hold that it's kasher. So fundamental machlokes. So now the Gemara asks a follow up question, and this is actually a beautiful and incredible sugya. V'saper Rabbi Yehuda lahaniach midamo lemachar divrei hakol posel. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that way? That if you have in mind to go ahead and leave over not all of the blood, but some of the blood. Now, hear this out. Does Rabbi Yehuda actually hold that if you have intention to leave over some of the blood, that the carbon is pasul? Does everybody agree with that? V'hatanya. This is just a beautiful, beautiful Gemara. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi said as follows. Kishalachti, le mitzvas, limtsos midosai etzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So this is a fascinating expression. So Rabbi Yehuda says, literally, when I went, limtsos midosai. Now, what does it mean, limtsos midosai? Refilke Rashi, limtsos midosai, leida mitzui tamudai ulishapel sipu kasai. Now, the way Rashi understands it is like this. So, limtsos midosai literally means, according to Rashi, that Rebbe was saying, when I went to learn by Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, I wanted to see the extent of my measuring utensils. So what Rebbe was saying was like this: I knew that I possessed Torah knowledge. I didn't know the extent of my Torah knowledge. And so when I went to Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, I went to go ahead and see the extent of the knowledge I possess. I wanted to see how much I really knew. Lelamed velimtsos, sorry, leida mitzvei tamudai velish al sipukosai. Literally, to know the extent of what I learned and to ask from him what I didn't have. So this is just so incredible. The lashon over here is like the lashon of measuring utensils. I wanted to see how much, so to speak, how much Torah was in my measuring utensils, and then whatever I was deficient, whatever I was lacking, I was going to get from Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So the Gemara says, Avra Amrile, others say, no, that's not what he says, that's not what Rabbi said. Rabbi said, Limtsos midosof shal Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. I went literally to empty out the measuring utensils of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. So in other words, I went to try to learn as much as I can. But I will say, but listen to how beautiful, just understand this expression. So Rabbi's going to learn Torah by Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, and he says either one or two expressions. Either I went to see how much is in my measuring utensils, and whatever I was deficient, ultimately, again, I was going to complete. Or I went to empty out the measuring utensils of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua and to kind of take his contents and fill it into my own. Either way, what you notice is something amazing. The idea that Rebbe felt that there was something lacking, there's something missing, and said, so I need to be memale machisar, I need to somehow fill that which is lacking inside of me. Either, again, I have to figure out what I'm missing and identify those pieces and then fill it up, or I just need to take as much from my Rebbe as I can because I recognize that my measuring utensils are fundamentally deficient. But not deficient in a bad way, Rebbe. And no person has everything. And sometimes it's just so beautiful insight. It's that, what is it that we do when we learn? You know, the Daf is giving us so much of an insight into Torah. What is it that we do when we learn? Each and every one of us is like this utensil, this kli. And each and every one of us, our kli is not full. It's deficient. It's incomplete in different ways. And what we don't realize is that every single time that we spiritually ingest Torah, we're filling up our utensils. I feel a little bit more complete. That's why, you know, when you learn, I always keep saying this, whether you understand what you're learning, don't understand what you're learning, you feel different. You feel a sense of completion because that's this process. My measuring utensils, my interpersonalistic utensils, which sometimes are a bit deficient, are now becoming filled. So Rebbe goes to the Shiva of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, either to fill his own utensils or to empty, to get as much as he can from his Rebbe. Okay, listen to this. The story goes on. Matzasi Yosef HaBabli Yoshev Lefanov. So listen to this. So Rebbe said, I found that there was this Talmud. His name was Yosef HaBavli, Yosef the Babylonian. He was sitting in front of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. V'hayachaviv lo biyoser ad la'achas. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, he loved this Yosef HaBavli. This was his favorite student. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Vayachaviv, Yosef HaBavli, the Rebbe Lazar. So again, Yosef, this Talmud, Yosef HaBavli was the most beloved student to his Rebbe, Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua. And what happened? V'sipro b'halochos achi, fine. So good. So that's the, good. What happened? Amar lo. So now, so just to understand the personalities here. Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua, he's the Rebbe, right? It's his base medrash. Rebbe walks into the space medrash. Rebbe sees that Yosef HaBavli is Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua's prized Talmud, and that the Rebbe loved his student, which I will say also is such a beautiful Musar Haskil. Sometimes, how does the student become the best student? How does the Talmud become the best Talmud? With his Rebbe's love. When a Rebbe loves his Talmidim, that gives the Talmidim the ability to believe in themselves. And by the way, you could apply this to anything. When you love your children, and you love your children unconditionally to the best that human beings could love unconditionally, you give them the chizik, you give them the strength to be able to accomplish, to be able to do. When a Rebbe loves his Talmidim, and the Talmidim feel that love spurs them to accomplish great things. So now Rebbe's observing this exchange between Yosef HaBavli and Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua. Listen to this. Amrlo, Rebbe. So this is now Yosef HaBavli speaking to Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua. Amrlo, Rebbe. Hashochet es hazevach. Hashochet es hazevach. Lahanicho midomo lamachar mahu. If somebody shechts a carbon, any shechts a carbon with the intention to go ahead and leave over some of the blood till tomorrow. So again, the blood is supposed to be part of the Mizbeach now. He goes there and he has in mind to leave over some blood till tomorrow. Mahu. So this is Yosef HaBavli asking Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua, Amar lo kasher. Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua said, it's kasher, like the Rabbanon, right? Ultimately, again, it's kasher. It is kasher. Okay, the Gemara says, good. Right, well, I should say it's machlokes, fine. Kasher. He said kasher. Arvis. So Yosef HaBavli asked Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua the same question again in the evening. Amar lo kasher. And he answered again, it's kasher. Shacharis. So Yosef HaBavli asked Rebbe Lazar ben Shamua the same question again in the morning. Amar lo kasher, to which again he answered kasher. Saharayim, he asked him again in the afternoon, or let's say midday. Amar lo kasher, Rebbe Lazar ben Shmua answered kasher. Mincha, obviously something's going on over here. So Yosef HaBavli is asking his Rebbe, Rebbe Lazar ben Shmua, the same question over and over and over and over. If you have in mind to leave over some of the blood, sacrificial blood, till the next day, what is the status of the karban? Rebbe Lazar ben Shmua consistently answers kasher. Mincha. Amrlo kasher ela Rabbi Eliezer posel. Mincha time, Yosef HaBavli asked the same question again, but this time Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua said, oh, the halacha is its kasher, but Rabbi Eliezer says that it's posel. Tzahavo panov shal Yosef HaBavli. Yosef HaBavli, his face lit up. His face lit up. Rashi says over here, machmas simcha. Machmas Simcha. So Yosef, his face finally lit up. Now, Rabbi Lazar ben Shmuel, the Rebbe sees this. He says, I don't understand. Amar lo Yosef, ki meduma ani shelo kivnu Shmuel senu ad ato? So the Rebbe, Rabbi Lazar ben Shmuel, says to Yosef HaBavli, Yosef, were we not on the same page up until now? Literally translated, it would appear to me that our learning, right, that our teachings did not line up until this point. So obviously, Rabbi Lazar ben Shimon noticed two things. Number one, that Yosef HaBavli kept asking the question. That's number one. Number two, he also noticed that it was only once Yosef HaBavli introduced the idea of Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua that suddenly again, of Rabbi Eliezer, that Rabbi Eliezer says that it's possible that suddenly Yosef HaBavli was happy. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel says, what's going on over here? Amar lo, Rabbi Hein, Elish Rabbi Huda Posel Shonali. So Yosef HaBavli says to Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel like this. He says, yes, Rabbi, now we were not in alignment. Because I remember in this particular topic, that I heard from you. I thought I heard from you that if you have in mind to leave over blood, some of the blood till the next day, that it's a machlokes, that the Rabbanon say that it's kasher, but Rabbi Yehuda says that it's posel. I thought that's what you taught me. V'chazarati akol tamidav u'bikashli lichaber v'lo matzasi. And I was asking around. I was asking people, I was trying to figure out, you know, I was positive I heard this from you, but I was trying to find out, does anyone else have this recollection? I was trying to find the chaver, and I wasn't able to find anyone who was able to corroborate this idea. And then what happens? Achshav sheshani salip supasul, but now Rebbe, now by mincha time, when you told me that if you have in mind to leave over blood till the next day, it's kosher, but Rabbi Eliezer says that it's pasul, hechzarte li avedasi. Literally, you have returned a lost object to me. So we'll say, this is just an overwhelmingly beautiful Gemara. First of all, now the reason we understand, the reason why Yosef HaBavli was asking over and over and over was because he distinctly remembered learning from his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, that someone argued in this, that someone said that the carbon was possible, but Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua wasn't forthcoming, or didn't say it. Finally, by mincha time, he said it, and now again, I just want to point out, when Yosef HaBavli hears his Rabbi, Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua, quote the position of Rabbi Eliezer, that the carbon is possible. If you notice the Lashon, right, the Lashon of the Gemara is, Savu Panav Yosef HaBavli, which literally means his face became radiant. So Rashi translates that as Simcha, but it could have just said Samach Rabbi Yehuda, right, Samach Yosef HaBavli. His face became radiant. See, this goes back to what we just said yesterday about just finding your excitement in Torah. If everything becomes the most amazing thing, then everything is the most amazing thing. Then even when your Rebbe quotes a long lost sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, you feel like you literally just hit the jackpot. You feel like it's the absolutely most incredible thing in the world. To feel that sense of simcha in Torah. And again, it all goes together. Remember, Rebbe showing up at the yeshiva because he feels that his utensils are empty. I need something more. I'm missing something. And you see that same feeling. Yosef HaBavli is having this discussion with his Rebbe, and he feels something is missing. Something here is missing. I don't know what it is. And when he finally, just in general in life, when you find that thing that you're missing, the simcha is so profound. Whether it's that you can't find your keys, whether it's that you can't find your shidduch and you finally do, whether it's that you were trying to whatever accomplish something, or whether you just found the shita in Gemara that you knew in the back of your mind. When you find something that you're missing, there's a tremendous sense of simcha. Alach es kama v'kama, when that missing piece is something spiritual. So beautiful. And the way Yosef HaBavli describes it as, Rebbe, you returned a lost object. It's all the same thing. I felt I was deficient. I felt I was missing something. I felt that something was gone from my life, and you returned it to me. Because we'll say, at the end of the day, Torah completes us. And without it, we're deficient. See, we didn't know. We woke up this morning, and if you're in touch with your neshama, so you feel something's missing. Something's missing. And in about 20 minutes from now, you'll be able to say, oh, you know what was missing? Menachos daf yilchas. That's what was missing from my life. And now, Rebbe, hechzarte li avedasi. Now, Lablina Rav, right? Now, Ramir Shapir, now you've given me back that which I lost. You've given me back that which I was looking for. The Gemara goes on. Well, it's beautiful. It's not finished yet. Zolgo ein of demos. Shal Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua. Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua's eyes filled with tears. He was so moved by this whole thing. Amar. Ashreichem tamidi chachamim shedivrei Torah chaviven aleichem biyoser. This is so beautiful. So Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua was so taken by his Talmud, was so taken by Yosef HaBavli. He was taken just in general by his persistence, right? In other words, he asked once, he asked twice, he asked three times. Okay, move on. But he felt something was missing. When you feel something is missing, you can't move on. You can't move yourself forward. So number one, he admired the persistence. Number two, he probably saw just the ridiculous simcha that his Talmud had when he finally espoused the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. And number three, he understood that what Yosef HaBavli is doing every day with his Torah is just trying to become complete. Because we're saying, isn't that what it's all about in life? Don't we all struggle with some level of emptiness, some level of incompletion, some feeling of just like, I don't know, there's got to be something else out there that I'm missing, something more that could ultimately help me actualize my shlichus. And then he saw this, and his eyes filled with tears. His eyes filled with tears. Such a beautiful Gemara. Ashreichem Tamidi Chachamim. Praiseworthy are you, Tamidi Chachamim. Shedivrei Torah Chavivin Aleichem Biyoser. For Torah is so dear to you. Torah is so dear to you more than anything. Kara alav hamikra hazeh. So again, Rabbi Lazar ben Shemua said about his prized Talmud Yosef HaBavli the following pasuk. Ma'ahavti sora secha. David HaMelech says, how much I love your Torah. Kol hayom hisicha si. All day it's my conversation. It's so incredible. Abosai, I'll just point out also on that pasuk in Tehillim, David says, right, he says, how much do I love your Torah? The whole day is my conversation. Now, he doesn't say the whole day I learn, right, for a very simple reason. David HaMelech didn't learn the whole day. He couldn't learn the whole day. He was a king. He was a warrior. He had to do stuff. He had other stuff. But even if you're not actively sitting in front of a sefer, kol hayom hisicha si. Torah could be part of my conversation. What do I talk about? Right? Again, not all the time, but the shaila is, does my Torah, does my ruchnius, does my spirituality, does it frame my interactions? Does it frame the way I talk? Does it frame the way I do business? Does it frame the way I interact? Does it frame the way I go through the world? So David HaMelech says, Ma'ahavti sora secha, how much do I love your Torah? Kol hayom hisicha si, all day. It's part of my conversation. Not that I'm talking Torah the whole day, but Torah informs the way that I live throughout my entire day. There is no part of my life that is not informed, not shaped, and not framed by the Torah Kedosha. Absolutely incredible. Now, of course, Bais Talmud, Yosef HaBavli, so this took on a little bit of a different form, right? Mahafti Sora Sech, look how much Tamid Yicham love Torah, kol hayom misicha si. He asked me the question over and over and over and over and over, quite literally the whole day, it was our conversation. So the Gemara says, now again, just to finish up the story, Hamit Beish Rabbi Yehuda. Now again, remember, Yosef HaBavli was bothered because he heard from his Rabbi Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua that Rabbi Yehuda said that when you have in mind to leave over the blood, the carbon is possible. Now, it's just important to understand, when Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua quoted the position that said that it's possible, he didn't call it Rabbi Yehuda, he quoted Rabbi Eliezer. So how do you reconcile this? So the Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you how. Ha-mipnesh Rabbi Yehuda, b'nash Rabbi Eloi. So listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda was the son of Rabbi Eloi. V'Rabbi Elazar, v'Rabbi Eloi, tamido shel Rabbi Eliezer. And Rabbi Eloi was the Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Yehuda is the son of Rabbi Eloi, and Rabbi Eloi was the son of Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, it makes sense. Lefichach, shana lach mishnas Rabbi Eliezer. Therefore, it must have been. So it made sense that Rabbi Yehuda himself would say over the positions of his father's Rebbe of Rabbi Eliezer. Incredible. These are called divrei hakol pasul. And if you hold that everybody holds puzzle, so the Gemara says, then ultimately, again, what does it mean when he said you return to me a lost object? Ihu plukta ka'amrale. He ultimately, again, quoting the machlokes, elamai kosher. Rather, what do you have to say? You have to hold that it's kosher. Rabbi Eliezer, posel. Rabbi Elazar posa asni, and therefore again, ultimately we're adding in the position of Rabbi Elazar holds, this quote in the Bais, Rabbi Elazar holds that it's possible. Ihachi, my ha mipnei plukta, anan nami plukta kamasninan. If that's the case, again, what does it mean when it says, because it's a machlokis, we're quoting this machlokis ourselves. Eloliolam, divyakol possible. Rather again, change the lashon ultimately to read, everyone agrees that it is possible. Umay, hechzarti li avedasi. And what does it mean when it says, when Yosef HaBavli said, you returned to me the lost object, the hadrele miha shum paslos ba'olam, that you went ahead and you reintroduced the idea that there is someone who does in fact hold that halacha lemeis, in this case of having in mind to leave over blood, that ultimately, again, it would be possible. So we'll say, the Gemara ends off with the machlokes, that if one does have in mind to go ahead and leave over blood, does that create a psul in the carbon or not? That remains a machlokes. As does the machlokes remain, although I have to circle back to it at some point in time, the machlokes also remains in general, if one has in mind, well, actually, it's not a machlokes, that I'm on Paskins, that by pigle, the halacha is as follows. If one has in mind to go ahead and a machshavas pigel by something that's supposed to be consumed, and instead they go ahead and have in mind to go ahead and eat it, or vice versa. That does not create pigel. It creates pasul, creates psul, but does not create a sense of pigel. Incredible. All right, Rabbi say, well, and that's the machlokes in the Mishnah as well. Good. Let's go back. Rabbi say a really incredible Mishnah now that's actually going to get into some of the mechanics of Karba Mincha, right? One of the areas in which I feel like our knowledge may be a little bit deficient is the actual mechanics of Karba Mincha, because again, the Gemara doesn't always necessarily follow like the logical progression order of things. So here, listen to this Mishnah. Mishnah says as follows. Mishnah al barim avir chasim dalef. Lo yatzak velo bala velo pises. Okay, so now the Mishnah is talking about no pigle. Sorry. Apologies, we're going to put pigle on hold for a little while now. And now the Mishnah is actually going to get into some of the mechanics of Karba Mincha. Now, the Mishnah is going to talk about what happens if you did not do certain things in the process of the Mincha. So for example, Lo Yatzak, you didn't pour oil. Now, look at Rashi just a moment, a very important Rashi. Lo Yatzak, Hainu Yitzika Achrona, Debitchila Nosin Shemen Bekli, V'achar Kach Soles, Ubolal V'chozer V'yotzei Shemen. So we'll say, it's actually really interesting. The way that a Karba Mincha would work is as follows. Step one, you go ahead and you have a Kli Sharis. You put oil in that Kli Sharis. Oil goes in first. This actually, interestingly enough, for whatever the reason, this information doesn't come until Daf Ayin Dalet, 74 in Menachos, where the Gemara actually goes through the actual processes, the actual process of a Mincha. But Rashi tells us a little bit over here. First, you put some oil in the Kli Sharis, then you go ahead and you put in the flour. After that, you mix it up, and then you go ahead and you pour in more oil. That second pouring of oil, that's called Yitzika. That's called Yotzeik. In fact, if you look at the Shita Mikubetzes over here, he says, Soles v'chozer v'yotzik shemen ubolal. So there's really another piece of here. You put in oil initially, then you put in the flour, then you put in a little bit more oil, then you go ahead and you mix it. After that mixing, then there's another pouring of oil, subsequent pouring of oil. That's called yitzika, v'yotzik shemen. That's it. So let's say again, lo yatzak. Let's say you didn't pour in the oil. Now, really what this means is as follows. What this means is if instead of putting in the oil incrementally, you poured in all of the oil at once. Rashi says over here, lo yatzak bala kashak, you go, shenasan kala log b'matan arishon, shukodom nasiyasa. Because it can't mean you didn't put in oil. Because if you didn't put in the requisite amount of oil, and that's a log of oil, if you didn't put that in, then the carbon is deficient, the carbon is possible. Rather, if instead of pouring it in, stage one before the flour, stage two after the flour, and then stage three after the mixing, and you pour it just all in at once, ultimately, again, it's going to be kasher. Lo balal. Similarly, again, if you did not mix the karma mincha, this is quite literally mixing the karma mincha, or velo pasas, or you did not break the karma mincha into pieces. Now, what does this mean? Once again, look at Rashi. Lo pasas, shene emar pasos osam pasim, pisim, va'afagav de minchas mach vasudichsiv. Now, we'll say, again, we're going to discuss this as well. There are certain minachos where before you take the kamitza after you bake it off. You bake it off, then you break it into pieces, and then you take the kamitza from the pieces. Remember, again, this is one of the hard avodos, because you have to shave off the sides without going ahead and making it deficient inside of the kamitza itself. So let's say, again, you did not break the pieces. You didn't break the pieces. Okay, Rashi says, Shinemar Pazos also piece of Afakab the Minchas Machvasu de Ksiv, Huadin Chola Menachos, Hanefos Trilokigo Machvas, Marcheses, Umafa, Shekulan Boz Eser, Umitzvah Lefosis and Kulan. So we'll get into this. Any baked mincha, this is what you would have to do. V'achach komets, v'zeh im lo pasas ela k'dei kemitza kosher. So again, if you didn't break it into pieces, and again, we'll define what that means, it's kosher. V'lo malach, you didn't add salt to the mincha. Or v'lo hinif, you did not wave it. Now again, not all of the menachos need waving. Rashi points out over here, this is by the minchas chotei and the mincha of the sota. V'lo higish, or you didn't bring it to the mizbeach, to the southwest corner. O shefasasan pisim merubos, what this sounds like over here is, you went ahead and you broke it into very large pieces. Instead of breaking it into small pieces, you broke it into larger pieces. Or again, Rashi says over here, Pisan Marubos Gidolos Yosher Midinon. You made the pieces too big. Or Velomashkan, or Velomashkan, or you didn't smear the mincha with oil. Again, Rashi points out certain minchos require smearing with oil. Also, you didn't do that. So in any of these cases, if you omitted any of these processes, kshera. Ultimately, the mincha is still kasher. So let's analyze. My lo yotzak. What does it mean you didn't pour oil? Ilei melo yotzak klal. If it means you didn't pour oil at all, ikuva kasaba. That can't be because you have to have oil in a mincha. And if you didn't have oil in a mincha, it's deficient. And if it's deficient, it's possible. So the Gemara says, ela lo yotzak koin elazar. Rather, it must be a koin didn't pour. This is fascinating. Koin didn't pour. Rather halacha lemaisa, a non-koin poured the oil. Interesting. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi lo balal nami lo balal koin." Well, if that's the case, that if lo yatzak means a coin didn't do it, but rather again a zardin ebosay. Now we'll see. By the way, later on, what will be the logic of saying that a non-coin, a zar, could do the pouring? Because it could very well be that since the ikar avoda by mincha is kmitza, from kmitza and on, that's where you have to have a coin involved. But perhaps by the pouring of the oil, you don't need a kohen. If that's the case, we're assuming the cases are symmetrical. So if lo yatzak means that a zar poured it, then lo bala, what does lo bala mean? Mihachi lo bala nami lo bala kohen el azar. So maybe it means when it says you didn't mix it, meaning a kohen didn't mix it, but a non-kohen mixed it. So what we can infer from that, halo bala kla psula. Now I can infer from that if you didn't mix the mincha at all, it would be possible. But one second, is that true? Bosei amud beis, but tanan, but we learned. 18b, Batanan, Shishim, Nivlalin, Shishim, the Echa E Nivlalin, if you have 60 esronim, that's a measure, in Yisaro, 60 esronim of flour, that can get mixed well together with a lug of oil in Eklisharis. 61 esronim is too big and you can't mix it. E Nivlalin. So the Gemara says, it doesn't get absorbed well with one lug of oil. So 61 esronim would be too big of a mincha. 60 esronim would be fine. V'havinan ba. And we asked about this. Ki einam nivlalin my havi. I don't understand. Who cares? Who cares if he can't mix it well? After all, again, we learned v'hatnan lo balal kshira. We learned that halacha lemaisa, if you didn't mix the mincha at all, the mincha is still kasher. V'amar bizera kalaray lebila ein bila ma'akeves bo. V'chol she'ein roi lebila bila ma'akeves bo. So Rav says, interestingly enough, the halacha is like this. You're right, you don't have to mix a karba mincha, but the mincha has to be mixable. So as long as the mincha is mixable, if you don't mix it, the mincha is going to be kasher. But if the mincha is not technically mixable, like for example, it has 61 esronos, it's too much, it's not going to mix well, then ultimately, the failure to mix or the inability to mix would compromise the carbon. Point over here is you see that you don't need to mix it. You don't need to mix it. If that's the case, then what's the case ultimately again of where you didn't mix it in the Mishnah? To which the Gemara says, no, midi iria, hakidi isav hakidi. That's two different cases. Lo yatzak is lo yatzak kohen. The case of the pouring of the oil, that's talking about a case where a kohen, in the Mishnah, when it says that you didn't pour the oil, it means a kohen didn't pour the oil, rather a zar poured the oil. And the Mishnah is telling me that the carbon is still kosher. The Gemara says, elazar, lo bala, lo bala klal. And the case of mixing in the Mishnah is talking about where you didn't mix at all. And the Mishnah is teaching me that halacha lemaisa, if you did not mix, ultimately the mincha is still kasher. So these are the first two halachas in the Mishnah. If a zar, if a non-kohen poured the oil and a kohen didn't do it, the mincha is still kasher. If you didn't mix the mincha at all, the mincha is still kasher. The caveat to that is, it's true, if you didn't mix it, the mincha is kasher, but the mincha can't contain more than 60 esronim of flour. Incredible. Osha pasas psisim merubos kshera. So then the Mishnah says, now again, the way we understood this case, the Pashtos is that this is the type of mincha, and again, I both said, we're operating with a little bit of a deficiency of knowledge in this, because this is like coming later on in the Masechta, but there are certain baked menachos. Those baked menachos, after they're baked, you break it into pieces, and the kmitz is taken from the pieces. So the Mishnah seemed to indicate if you make the pieces too big, ultimately, again, the carbon is still going to be kosher. So hashta, you must understand. Hashta lo pasas klal ksheira pasim rubos mibay. Understand? The halacha is, if you didn't break it into pieces at all, the mincha still kasher. If you broke it into pieces that are too big, what's the shaila? So Gemara says, no. My pasim rubos. What does it mean when it says ultimately again? you made it pasim merubos, sheriba bepsisin. That perhaps what ended up happening is you broke it into too many pieces. It's not a function of big pieces. You broke it into too many pieces. Because again, as we'll see later on in the Masechta, there was a specific way in which you were supposed to break the mincha. The other possibility is the olim pasim merubos mamish. No, it could very well mean that you broke it into very big pieces. What would you have thought? So listen to this. Hasim hudi gatoris chalas alehin. So I'll say, I would have thought like this. If you don't break the mincha at all, the reason why the mincha is bediavad kasher is because, again, it has the status of a loaf. Aval hacha delav toras chalos ika, velo toras psisin ika, kamashwan. But in a case, ultimately, again, where let's say you break it into pieces, too many pieces, where now it's no longer a loaf, and ultimately, again, it's not proper pieces. I would have thought that therefore the carbon is compromised. Kamashmalon, no. Kamashmalon will say, so if you don't break it, the mincha's kasher. If you break it into big pieces, the mincha's kasher. And even if you break it into too many pieces, also b'di'evet, the mincha's kasher as well. So the Gemara says, Lima masisin delok Rabbi Shimon. So say that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbi Shimon. Why not? What does Rabbi Shimon say? So here we go. Disanya Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Kol koin she'ino moda ba'avoda ein l'chelek b'kuna. Okay, so we'll say, this is an incredible Gemara. Incredible Gemara. Rabbi Shimon says like this. Gemara says like this. Any coin who does not accept the validity of the avoda. It's interesting. In a moda, literally means he doesn't admit the avodas. He doesn't accept the spiritual legitimacy, the correctness of the avoda. In lo chelik pekuna, he's not allowed to do the avoda, and he doesn't have a portion of the kuna. Shneimar hamakri les tama shlamim v'esachelev mibnei aron. So literally, again, he offers up the blood of the shlamim and the chelev and the fats from the sons of Aaron. Lo si yeshokim, he will get the right foreleg for his portion. So you see from here, if you're mibnei Aaron, if you admit to the kuna, if you accept the kuna, then ultimately again, lo si yeshokim. If you accept the validity of the kuna, ultimately again, but if you don't accept the validity of the kuhuna or the validity of the avoda, then you don't have a chilek in the kuhuna. So again, I only know about the particular avodos mentioned in this pasuk. Minayin l'rabos tes vav avodos. How do I know that this concept applies to all 15 forms of avoda? Now we'll say, so again, the Gemara is espousing, the Breisa. The Braisa is espousing a concept, which is ultimately, again, that in order to go ahead and be a properly functioning coin, you have to buy in. You have to buy in. Otherwise, what you're doing is fundamentally ineffective. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. So I understand that this concept of buy-in creates legitimacy in your Kohanic service applies to the items mentioned in the pasuk. How do I know that it applies to all of the other forms of avod? Right, Jabal said, we're out of time for today, but tremendous. We'll pick up Emir Hashem with this tomorrow. What a tremendously amazing Gemara, and what a fantastic opportunity to learn with all of you. So again, thank you to Maishi and to Jeremy for arranging. Emir Hashem, we'll pick up here tomorrow, and wishing everyone an incredible day. Shkayach, everyone. Oh, yeah.